Jesus calls us to all this forgiveness, love of enemies, doing good to those who harm us, lend what we have without expectation, and stop judging. And here it is important to be reminded about the distinction between judging a person and judging the actions of a person. Christ cannot be clearer that it is not ours to decide the condemnation or salvation of another. But he's equally clear about the necessity of judging actions regarding sin and grace. We have a choice to make: judgment or mercy. It's either or. There's no in between. Therefore, what we choose for others will be given to us. In other words, because we represent Jesus here, we will one day meet the Jesus that we bring into the world. Probably none of us are too amazed at how Jesus treats repentant sinners in the gospel, or how he treats the sick, the poor, the frightened, the orphaned, the possessed. But it does surprise us that God is good and merciful to the rude, the mean, the swindler, the untrustworthy, the wicked, that Jesus would die for them as for us. This we find amazing and very contrary to our thinking. But this is the ethos and the actuality of mercy over judgment. And the big shocker for us is that Jesus expects his followers to do the same. We are his agents. The good news of salvation is the bestowal of grace. Jesus' followers are the agents of that free gift. And it is this that defines us in life and will define how we ourselves will stand before Christ at our death, in mercy or in judgment. Jesus teaches them then, and the gospel reminds us for 2,000 years, that the standard of our actions and attitude is none other than God himself. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Note the difference between judgment and mercy. Judgment keeps an accounting. It demands a full measure of satisfaction. Mercy wipes the slate clean and opens up to restoration, a fresh start for the repentant and willing soul. The difference is paramount here. It's the whole point of the good news. The world cannot and will not be saved by judgment. It's impossible. Who among us can pay the whole debt of our sins, much less that of the whole world and all others? The world will be saved by mercy, the infinite mercy of God the Father. In the actuality of this, we cannot then embrace and accept the mercy of God for ourselves and then, of our own doing, refuse that mercy to another person. It's a hard truth, but it is truth nonetheless. In our humanity, this accountability can leave a sense of resentment in our heart if we're not careful. It can erode and dismantle Christian virtue. But Jesus calls us to much, much more, because God is much bigger than all of this. And we, being created in God's image, strive to be like God. When Jesus says to us, "Be like the Father in heaven," it's not just a command. It's a reminder of who and what we are. We are the image and likeness of God. The other day, someone at the shop put an article in my hand that made a premise about certain actions being acceptable for people because they occur in the animal kingdom. The author of this article was trying to alter immutable truth because of what can be found in dogs and hyenas, completely overlooking the fact that we are more than animals. We are human beings. God did indeed create all the animals on the planet, and he called them good. But he didn't baptize any of them. He didn't become one of them and die for them. He didn't save them from sin because they cannot commit sin. But we have the ability to sin because we are more than animals and called to be much more because of our consciousness of the God who created us. So we are called to be merciful to other people, the ones we like, the ones we don't like, and even the ones who cause us harm. And anyone who has tried it and done it will affirm that it is not easy. But then neither was dying on a cross. I have struggled lately, as many of you probably have, with all the recent goings on, especially within the church. And I have struggled and truly prayed, "Dear Jesus, how am I to respond? Where am I to stand in all of this?" When the shepherds react explosively to an adolescent and want to kick him out of his community in an incident that turns out not to be his fault, and then remain silent when visible Catholic politicians publicly proclaim the death of children, unborn and newborn, and then condemn the church for its teachings on the dignity of life. As I await the voices to shout out for the voiceless and the powerless, voices that seem stunningly silent, "Dear Jesus, where am I to stand? How do I respond?" And in answer, my heart hears a voice of great strength and yet infinite kindness, tenderness, a voice that sounds incredibly wounded, but able to hold it all and not fall. A voice that says, "Love your enemy and pray for his soul. Be merciful as our Father is merciful. Do not judge, because you yourself will not fare well if judged. Forgive, because even your small sins offend the Father. You are surrounded by the needy. Help them freely and generously. Be me where you are. Keep me present in the world. For the measure with which you measure out will be measured out to you." You know, the terrible social ills that we face today were faced by Christians from the beginning, and they have continued on till now. What made the difference in every age was those people who held to their faith in their homes and in their neighborhoods while the world seemed to collapse around them. Governments and hierarchies suffer and struggle when the love of God ceases to rule. Yet in every family where the love of God, neighbor, and self prevail, so prevails the church that Jesus established. Jesus asks much of his followers, yes, even to the giving of their lives. But while he asks much, he gives much more. He gives his Spirit to guide and his grace to continue. Jesus has defeated sin and death. And so we live our faith. We wait for his return. And we trust his promise that he will never leave us alone. And ladies and gentlemen, you are the church. You are the voice that shatters the silence. You are the light that is not overcome by the darkness. You are Jesus walking in the world.